Glamour, grit, and grief. Zobeida Pearl Nurdeen Hafiz wanted to be free. It had been her all-consuming desire, perhaps from the moment she entered this world on September 20th, 1927. On the bed beside her, she heard Nyla's voice, more breath than sound. Go, Mammy. Go to Ma. Go to Dulcie and Muni. Go. She wanted to be free. Suddenly, she was 5 years old, running lickety-split through their backyard in Woodbrook, leaving her seven-year-old sister Dulcie dangling and terrified from the mango tree branch where Pearl had dared her to climb. She wanted to be free. Then she was 10 and pedaling her bicycle as fast as she could in the opposite direction of Tranquility Primary School, where fear of teachers turned sweat cold and sour under her uniform shirt. Down Rosalino, past Carlos, Alfredo, Anna, Petra, Alberto, streets named for the Seedrick family of Angostura Bitters fame. She passed rows and rows of two-story houses with gingerbread trim and lace curtains on the windows, arrowing for Traggeries Road and the Queen's Park Oval, where cricketers often give her the sweet eye. Maybe she would catch the Oval Boys practicing steel pan under the breadfruit tree in front of the Manette House. She wanted to be free. She was 14 and burning with typhoid fever, clammy with sweat, wrung out from weeks of diarrhea. She was 15 and out of school to take care of Pa, her handsome Pa, carnation milk skin, now pasty white, lying in his bed, unable to move after falling off a ship at work. Pa's education had earned him a position as civil engineer with the colonial authorities in Trinidad. Pa had shown all them hoity-toity white people that colored people could build upstairs houses too. No way that white people and Syrians with money would let just any coolie or Creole live in their neighborhood. This was Woodbrook, with paved sidewalks and electric street lamps that turn on like magic at night. She wanted to be free. She was 15 and working as a cashier at Globe Cinema. Her uncle Noor had told her the story of his father, the great Haji Gokul Mi, who had come to Trinidad with his parents as a baby, worked the cane fields under white plantation owners until he earned enough money to open his own business in 1878. By 1892, Gokul had owned most of the estates in the Diego Martin Valley. In 1933, Gokul built the biggest cinema in the Caribbean. In that air-conditioned space, with 1,000 people packed from balcony to pit, Pearl fancied herself a brown Princess Margaret, finger-wave curls and all. She wanted to be free. She was 20 and 8 months pregnant with Nyla. While the future Queen Elizabeth II was preparing for her wedding, Pearl was struggling to adjust to married life. It wasn't that she never thought she would get married. She just thought it would be when she was good and ready. She'd been following in her Uncle Noor's entrepreneurial footsteps, selling embroidered baby hospitals to high-end woodwork shops. Excelling so fast at hairdressing, they had her training girls. Every bride in Trinidad wanted Pearl to do their hair and makeup. Pa, Ma, and Dulcie had decided it was Pearl's turn to be a bride. Muhammad Abdullah Hafiz came from a long line of devout Muslim brothers who had decided to use their first names as their last names to distinguish themselves. So she had traded Mudin for Hafiz as her last name in 1947. That same year, Mooney had gotten pregnant by a man who didn't want her, had the baby, and then killed herself. If Dulcie was the good daughter, and she the stubborn one, Pearl thought, Mooney, born 2 years after Pearl, was the lost one. Had they all been so preoccupied taking care of Pa to notice Mooney going off track? Had Ma and Pa been so ecstatic at the birth of Kamro, their one and only son, in 1931, to pay attention to Mooney? Had Pearl herself been too preoccupied with wanting to be free to be a good wife? Hafiz was a good man, a tolerant man, a humble man. Pearl had given him 3 children, Nyla in 1947, Naeem in 1949, and Azim, the apple of his parents' eye to this day, in 1955. Oh, how her white customers crooned over Azim. Even when, one day when he was 3 years old, he swaggered into her salon with a cutlass and a mouthful of cuss words. She wanted to be free. She was 30 and in New York City for the first time. She'd left Ma to cook for Hafiz and Nyla to take care of Naeem and Azim. She donned her best fur, primed her hair, and joined students at Charles of the Ritz, learning how to do hair, makeup, and facials. And of course, hobnobbing with the Fifth Avenue socialites. Every white university lecturer flocked to her salon from that day on. When Nyla was 15, their bungalow at the corner of Clifford Street and the Southern Main Road in Kareb was transformed into a massive upstairs house with terrazzo floors, plush carpet, and polished cantilevers. Every Sunday, Pearl would sit at the oval mahogany table Kamral had made for her and count her profits in tiny little bundles. She wanted to be free. She was 54 and feeling like the queen of her house in Valsay North. Everyone said she had followed Dulcie to this area of sprawling bungalows and lush lawns. Why shouldn't she want a nice home to grow mango and pomerac trees, hibiscus and bougainvillea plants? Besides, she was a grandmother now. Azim had married Jenny, a white girl with green eyes, and given her a grandson, Nasa. Nyla had married Clive, a man who would never like Hafiz, but who adored Pearl, and Pearl adored him. Clive and Nyla's daughter, Christy, was sick as a baby, and it was Pearl who accompanied Clive on many of his trips to Canada for her medical procedures. Nyla had Rayad, Pearl's second grandson, during one of their absences. Naeem had married Sonia, a Woodbrook girl, and given Pearl another grandson, Adil. Nassim, Rayad, and Adil were for sure the three amigos of Valsay North. Two more grandchildren would follow 3 years later, only 5 months apart from each other. A girl named Crystal for Naeem and Sonia, and a boy named Issa for Azim and Jenny. For several blissful years, Pearl had lived a grandmother's dream, having all of them under the same roof at 2 Woodlands Road. She wanted to be free. Nyla was still telling her to go. Go to Pa, go to Dulcy, go to Mimi. She could hear Hafiz reading Namaz, as he had done for 25 years as the Imam of the St. Joseph Mosque. She'd done her best to be a good Imam's wife, never missing a day of fasting during Ramadan, making curtains for the mosque, designing the most beautiful clothes for her grandchildren at Eid. She wanted to be free. She was 78 and lying in this very bed with Hafiz. She wasn't sure if he could see her or even hear her, but she tried her best to still the hand tearing at the feeding tube in his nose. It was too late to apologize for always being so rough with him. It was too late to say words that had never felt right between them. I love you. She heard those simple words now from Nyla. Did they know she loved them? Pa and Ma and Muni, Dulcy and Kamral, her children, her grandchildren, her great-grandchildren? Yes, she had great-grandchildren, although she couldn't remember their names. Life had slowed to a stream and then a trickle after Hafiz died. She'd done her best to put on a good face, to small talk, but she couldn't return to the sequin dancer everyone swore was 55 at her 75th birthday. She wanted to be free. Pearl climbed onto her bicycle and pedaled in the direction of Woodbrook. In no time at all, it seemed, she was back on Rosalino Street, down Carlos, Alfredo, Anna, Petra, and Alberto. Then she saw Ma, Pa, and Mimi, and Dulcy too, talking in the square like they had no cares in the world. Cow heel soup and roast beef jostled for supremacy in the tropical air. At St. Teresa's, voices of the choir rose and fell in multi-part harmonies. All at once, Ma and Pa, Dulcy, Hafiz and Muni looked up and smiled at Pearl, bright and beaming. They waved her over. She wanted to be free. Raising her rosy cheeks to the tropical sun, Pearl pedaled towards them. A month shy of her 92nd birthday, Zubaida Pearl Medine Hafiz was finally eternally free.